There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
I'll tell you right now, management or consultants will not be happy with me, what I've done to the clock today.
Don't worry about the clock.
Poor clock management all the way. We were out of timeouts in the 4 o'clock hour. We used our replay challenge at the end of the 3 o'clock hour, so we've been on fumes for the rest of the afternoon. Chuck and Chernoff right here. You right there, the audience. I'm Matt. That's Chuck.
What's up?
If you see another member of the listening audience, introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Tim. Hi, Tim. I'm Steve. We're both listeners to this show, and that way we all get to know each other. We spend more time together. We're going to be here till 6:10 tonight. Little bonus, Chuck and Chernoff, before we turn things over to a 680 game day with Tamino and McAlpin.
Oof.
And then the 4 leadoff show.
Oof.
Getting you ready for the Braves and the Astros game 1 of 3 on this radio station tonight and on the Fan mobile app. Let's cover some old business before we get into today. The Braves got a pardon from the governor. In this case, his name was Marcell Ozuna.
It was wonderful.
Marcell saved the Braves from having to deal with the whole, you lost a series to the Marlins. You lost 2 of 3 to the, right now, record-wise, the worst team in baseball. Instead, we're basking in the glow of what Marcell did. 2 outs, 2 strikes, and again, a very good pitcher's pitch that Tanner Scott threw that Marcell, because he's so red hot, doesn't care that he's in an 0-2 hole. It doesn't matter. And he golfed the ball out to give the Braves the 9-7 lead that they would hold on and win. And it's worth pointing out, the other two balls both could have been home runs, too. He hit the ball to dead center that could have gotten out. The ball to left. He killed everything again yesterday.
And he's a major leaguer. No, there's guys like Josh Naylor for Cleveland. Yordan, he swings as hard as anybody in the bigs. And he just let fly on an 0-2 pitch where the game is over if he doesn't make contact. And he made contact.
So he went 3 for 5 yesterday, the homer, the double, 4 more RBI. If he doesn't win player of the month, something's wonky.
Oh, he's just scalding it right now.
Now, it's only April 15th. Maybe he'll go for his next 30, whatever. But he's hitting .373 with 7 home runs, 21 RBIs. Both of those two numbers lead all of baseball. I was wrong when I said he would not hit 40 home runs and have 100 RBIs. He might go 50 and 120. I just thought he's going to regress. It'll be fine. He'll hit 25 homers. It'll be good. Right now, he's on pace for 81 home runs and 243 RBIs. That might slow down.
On pace.
It might slow down, but right now, he's just in one of these places where it's the complete opposite of a year ago. In April, a year ago, he couldn't make contact. He was the worst hitter in baseball. Right now, he's the hottest hitter in baseball. And as you're watching the ninth inning yesterday, all you're thinking is, get to Marcell. Get to Marcell. So Ronnie leads off with a base hit. And then you get a couple of outs and you get the 4-pitch walk for Olsen. You're like, okay, this is the spot you want. And Marcell delivered. Now, I want to play you what it sounded like both on TV and radio, because both I thought Brandon Gaudin and Ben Ingram had great calls. For an April baseball game that probably in the scheme of things won't mean all that much, it felt pretty awesome. Here's the TV call from Brandon Gaudin on Bally describing the action for Marcel with the go-ahead home run.
Runners go. Ozuna hits it in the air to left center. Chisholm back. It's gone! The Big Bear with a big fly! The Braves down to their final strike. And Ozuna, who owns Miami, strikes again.
For one of the quietest ballparks in the Big Stew, my God, the noise in that moment from all the Braves fans that
were
there.
They're in there, absolutely. You get cheap tickets. You talked about it, $34. You're right behind home plate in the cushy seats.
It did seem odd all weekend that the roof was open. That place looks weird with the roof open. I told you
it looks weird. And then those god-awful red jerseys with the white pinstripes. It's
again
a
with
bad,
the unis.
Bad look. I try to help.
The fashion police is not
happy. I'm a responsible citizen.
I understand.
I'm trying to help these teams.
You got poor Jazz Chisholm complaining about the shadows. It's not good for him. It didn't seem to bother Marcel or the Braves bats, for that matter, in the first game or the third game of the series.
Okuna had his moments.
He did. He's still not there where you're like, oh, okay. He's starting to get, he had a good weekend. Yeah. He scalded some balls and he's getting a little closer. He almost hit his first home run. He'll get there. I know a lot of people are worried about the knee from spring, but you saw the stolen base numbers are there again. He's not having problems there.
Okuna is the best talent in all of baseball.
Probably. Let me play for you Ben Ingram's call, because Gaudin's was awesome. But I think Ben's was even better, because not only did he paint the beautiful picture, he stuck the landing.
0-2 for Ozuna. Scott set right at the belly. Runners go. 0-2 swung on and a fly ball deep left field. Carrying back. Chisholm to the wall. And it's gone! It's a home run! He did it again! And he sucks the air right out of this Miami crowd. And the Braves fans are going crazy down the first baseline. He is the mayor of Miami.
The roller coaster of emotions that the Brave fan has had with this guy. In 2020, he could do no wrong. He almost won a triple crown.
He did.
Then we wanted him gone. You are a disgusting human being. Domestic stuff and DUIs, and we don't want you. You're the worst hitter in baseball. Now it's like, we love the Big Bear. MVP. It's just typical of sports fans. We'll ignore anything about you. If you produce, we'll cheer for you.
Do we care about this? You may not know this. Matt Verskajian?
Oh, yes, Mike Francesa.
Say his last name. Verskajian.
Verskajian,
that's it. He won't slow down. It's in just cadence. He will say, da-da-da-da-da-da, Ozuna from the Braves. Every time he'll say Ozuna from the Braves. And I'm trying to think if I care about that. And I don't think I do, but I know that he's using those words as a reference to the guy's DUI.
Of course, it's funny. Ben Ingram made the joke at it one
but
time.
But then one time, and then he didn't. If you watch Matt Verskajian.
Good job. Not Verskajian.
Every single time upon first reference, so Ozuna from the Braves steps in.
It was too sensitive.
Have you not seen the jerseys? I've seen a bunch of the Ozuna from the Braves jerseys. Like, they're everywhere. It's not. Now everybody wants Big Bear jerseys. We love them again. It's pretty good. The other notable from the weekend series was Max Fried. The return of the Max. Friday night, 6 1/3. 4 hits, 1 earned, a walk, and 4 Ks. He looked like himself, which was awesome news. The opposite side of that news was we got the report on Friday that Spencer Strider had gone under the knife. And we thought the next time we'd hear a report from the Braves was that he had the UCL operated on, but it was the internal brace surgery, not the Tommy John, which will shorten the time, theoretically, that he'll be out, maybe back earlier next season than he would have been. I mean, there was some world where he was out half of next season, maybe all, depending on how the recovery of Tommy John went. So that's the good news there. So the Braves head to Houston tonight. 1-3, Darius Vines gets the ball. We'll ask Tom Glavine about Vines, who has not started in 11 days. We'll ask the Hall of Famer about him coming up in about 20 minutes. Tomorrow, Ronaldo Lopez gets the ball, and then Max Fried on Wednesday afternoon. Tonight, when the Braves set foot on this field at Enron, it'll be the first. Oh, it's not Enron anymore.
No.
Is it Minute Maid?
Juice box?
Yeah, whatever. It'll be the first time in 895 days the Braves have been there. The last time they were there, they were dogpiling out in the middle of the field.
That's right.
And they were in the visiting clubhouse celebrating a world championship.
Yeah, Dansby was almost going to throw to Ozzy, but Ozzy, if you go back and look, Ozzy already puts his hands up in the air and starts celebrating. So Dansby's like, all right, I'll throw it to Freddie.
You want the tie here? So the tie that binds this all together is the Braves just signed Yuli Gurriel, the 39, soon to be 40-year-old, former member of the Astros. He made the final out of that World Series, and now he's a member of the Braves, minor leagues. He'll be in AAA Gwinnett, so maybe they brought him back to celebrate the return to Houston.
Mostly a first baseman, had played third and outfield and whatever. He had done a lot. I don't know. He's got to be 40 now, so he's – did you say that? Is he 40?
He'll be 40 in June.
Okay, yeah, he's a first baseman.
I don't know what this is. This is like the Braves – they have to do this every now and again. It's like Ryan Howard, Yuli Gurriel, like just these old
Yonder
guys.
Yonder Alonso they brought in, didn't they?
Yeah, he was there for a minute.
Also, you know they have a prospect, not Darryl Evans, Barrel Evans is his nickname.
That's the best nickname ever.
He's sort of rotund. Okay. He's a lefty power hitter, so there's Barrel Evans. So, yeah, they'll bring in a first base guy. I'm not going to do an Astros thing. I need like 4 seconds here. Beat up to hell. They whack the baseball. Their bullpen has absolutely let them down this year, and that includes Hader. So they're right, man. They're not playing good baseball.
Their pitching's been bad. The Braves' pitching's been bad, so maybe a bunch of runs to look out for over the next 3 days. All right, we'll get back to Braves stuff coming up. As I said, Glavin, in about 15 minutes. The Hawks lost their season finale yesterday. I don't want to talk too much about stuff on the court. They gave up 157 points.
Stupid Hawks.
They gave up 49 in the first quarter. The only other thing from the game I'll mention, Trae Young had 12 assists. He becomes the Hawks' all-time career assist leader, passing Doc Rivers, who had held the record since 1990.
Mookie didn't get there?
No. Well, he had to pass the ball more to get assists. So for Trae, at 25 years old, 6 years in the league, he becomes the Hawks' all-time assist leader. The Hawks have finished 10th in the East, which before this ridiculous play-in would have just meant your season ended a long time ago. Instead, the Hawks will go to Chicago Wednesday night. Play-in time. Hawks 10 seed, Chicago 9 seed, 9:30 p.m.
Yep.
Tip.
Yep.
If the Hawks win the game, it's off to the loser of Philadelphia and Miami. And a win there would get you a chance to play the Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. You know the Celtics don't want that smoke. The Celtics want nothing to do with it. They want – the Celtics would be so – oh, my God. Here, the Hawks beat us twice in a week, not that long ago. They got Trey back. They've got somebody named Windler. They've got okay. – hold on. I'm not done. They've got Kobe Bufkin.
Viet Krejci.
They've got – no.
They don't have him. No, they made a roster choice
actually
there.
It's Viet Krejci. And
excuse me for butchering that.
They didn't pick up the guarantee on his contract, so he's not eligible for the postseason because the Hawks are not a serious franchise.
Ain't no other sport like the NBA. When you get to the postseason, people start playing at their max. Like there is a like all fans, you get to the postseason. Like, all right, it's playoffs now. NBA, the players do that. You're right about was it LeBron who said that the play-in? He's like, this is not a real thing. This is dumb. Mm-hmm. He was kind of right about that. Am I right? Hawks would
they're
be
in it again. By the way, the Lakers.
Yes, late Wednesday night in Chicago. Let's say they win. They fly to Miami.
All right.
And that's Friday night.
Okay.
They play. They win again, and they fly to Boston to play on Sunday afternoon.
That's what the scenario was a year ago,
you know,
yes.
All right, so they're practically up 1-0 in the
Oh, Boston doesn't
the
want
first
this.
Round
Boston
now.
Doesn't want this.
Yeah,
smoke.
You're right. I agree. That, Matt, that screams they're up 1-0. You're right.
Hawks took him to 6 a year ago, could have pushed it to 7. Boston doesn't want that.
And Veet, I don't know, 6'6 guy who can shoot, kind of an interesting player.
A little taller than that, but yeah.
They I thought he's okay. They made a choice. And he's not eligible now.
Right, he's
so
not
going to
be
that.
Back.
Speaking of choices, the Hawks marketing department has made a choice. The 36-46 Hawks who are in the play-in will play at 9:30 Wednesday night. And I got the email last night that the Hawks are hosting a play-in watch party at State Farm Arena. And I was like, no, this can't be serious. Then as I read the press release on the way down, it only costs you guys $5 to get in to watch a game on a big screen. Oh, yeah, you do have to pay for parking. And I assume you have to pay for concessions.
And it starts so late that MARTA may not be running when I get out.
Hawks
like,
fans.
No.
Listen, Hawks fans are a loyal bunch. I mean that sincerely. For a franchise that has never repaid the Hawk fan for all that
ever,
they give.
Ever. Not even made it to the finals. The Falcons made a Super Bowl, at least.
They're asking you guys to schlep downtown.
For a 9:36 tip?
Right. A 9 versus 10 with two under 500 teams. And they want you to pay to get in.
It'll be 11:53, and you're going through the turnstile at the MARTA station.
I mean, I just...
is there a train coming? Should we go to Vine City?
This is a hideous idea.
Uber? No, it's surge pricing. I don't want to pay.
This is a hideous idea. Now, maybe the Hawks will invite all their clients to help fill up some of the seats in the building.
There has to be something you're missing there.
No,
like you get free hot dogs.
I don't think so. Not yet. Maybe they'll announce
feed
it. No, I don't know. If for a price, if you pay, they'll feed you.
Usher's playing.
maybe if they hire the ushers in the crowd to play. No, it's just you're going to watch the big screen. And if you bring three of your buddies, $20. Four people, $20. Pay for the food, pay for the parking to watch two under 500s in an empty arena.
Can we make an intern go?
Would you want to?
And get some sound.
Jack, you ready?
So Jack, the intern's right there. Jack, do you have plans Wednesday night?
All yours.
All right, do you have a phone that takes video?
Grandpa.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Let's give him a mic to bring down there too. And let's just have him just interview whoever's there. And I want him to paint the picture, video, audio, all of it of the Hawk play-in party. We'll reimburse you the $5.
Expense the $5. Yeah, correct. Expense the fiver.
Okay, so we will have an on-site report.
And by the way, that wasn't hypothetical. I would go to Vine City first when you leave. All right, that's where I would get
on. Look at Jack. You think Jack's ever taken Marta in his life? Are you bleeping kidding?
Oh, you got a breeze
card? Shirt's tucked in.
Yes, no. Breeze card?
Breeze card? Do you know what a breeze card is, Jack? He has no clue. Look at it. This is the dumbest thing you ever said.
Live in Atlanta. You don't know what a breeze card is.
How many times have you taken Marta, Jack, the intern? Hold up a sign on your hands. How many times? Zero. I knew it. Like you, seriously? You think Jack, where do you go to school, Jack, the intern?
Whitfield Academy.
Whitfield Academy.
All right, get your breeze card. Drop you off at Kensington.
Have you been to downtown Atlanta?
I have.
Do you know your way to State Farm Arena?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's the first step. So Jack the intern, official 680 The Fan reporter, will be there for the play-in watch party.
We're going to find that. Jack's bringing the party.
It's very exciting.
Jack's bringing the party.
I am so excited that we're going to have live coverage of all things Hawks play-in. But this is honestly a hideous idea. This is one of the worst ideas any marketing department, and I know bad ideas. This is one of the worst ideas any marketing department's ever come up with in this city.
Your contest sucks.
There is... All right, Bert.
Which means that we should be really familiar with this level of suck.
I always say fans have to realize their power and say no to things. There shouldn't be one person in the building. And that comes from somebody, I love that team, but I hate them at the same time. There should be nobody in that building. Like when Zach Klein's doing a stand-up at 11 o'clock or whoever's doing it on Fox, and they're doing the stand-up and behind them, there's only the cheerleaders.
Tony Ressler has to be at this, right? Like He's the owner. You can't throw a party about how big this game has come down, watch on the big screen, and the owner ain't there.
So you think he's going to be in the front row watching on a big screen?
He has to be at this game somehow.
Oh, you're going to shame him to show up. I like it.
No, how do you say, it's a party, come on down? I won't be there. And by the way, break me off a Lincoln.
I will take the under on Tony being in the building.
Shame. All right, over under on Tony Wrestlers is a half.
I'll say on Wrestler family members.
No, Tony Wrestler.
Nick might be there. Because Dad says, Nick, you got to represent the wrestlers.
Shame.
But no, Tony's going to be somewhere else.
That's bad. You can't tell me how big this party is.
How fun would it be if we did the watch party at Tony's house? Now we got something.
We would get arrested if we did that.
Well, I'm not saying break and enter, but he opens it up to Hawk fans. We call it the...
he would have more show up.
We call it the luxury tax party.
In fact, $20 I would pay to watch it at his house. $5 at Phillips? Nah. Mm-hmm.
20 to sit in the wrestler.
20 at the wrestler's.
He's got to have some massive home theater.
You know it.
He's got to. I mean, that guy's worth like $9 billion. He's got to have the greatest home theater ever.
Got the chairs where it looks like the ice drink cooler in the chair.
And you know he has a staff.
Yep.
So just something to think about. Jack, if we can make a pivot to get you to Wrestler's house, you need to cozy up to Nick Wrestler, and we'll figure that out moving forward. All right, so we had spring game action, which kind of whets the appetite a little bit for football. Georgia finished up their G-Day game 20-20.
They took it seriously. They played football.
I hope so. I mean, enough. It was a 20-20 final. Carson Beck was 25-46 in the game. He threw for 301, a couple of touchdowns. He threw two picks. Now, I didn't see it. I'm not going to lie to the audience. But my understanding is the two picks were two really good athletic plays, one a diving pick and one on a tip ball. So there was that. Dom Lovett had seven catches for 104 yards. And as it was written here, often in coverage and traffic. And then Ra-Ra Thomas had four catches for 58 yards, including a 39-yarder from Carson. But the guy who stole the show and the guy who's going to steal the show, Colby Young, when he gets off the bus, is built like a Greek god. He's the transfer from Miami, 6'4", just can out-jump everybody, had a 2-yard touchdown catch where he showed off the jump ball skills. And Georgia fans were like, we haven't had too many guys that look like that at receiver, and he's just going to be one of those that Carson Beck is going to love throwing to throughout the college football season. So you have him. Then you got your first look at Trevor Etienne, who had four carries for 24 yards, had three catches for 33.
Yeah, we found out the spring game can't count as the one-game suspension. And that should be an actual scheduled varsity game.
What if they did it this way? They suspend him for the second half of the spring game and the first half of the Clemson game.
Like it's a targeting call? What?
I don't know. Have we heard from Kirby more on that?
No, but student handbooks. Kirby, he says a lot of times, it's not my call, folks. It's a student handbook thing.
Okay.
He says, I'm just the football coach here.
If Kirby made a call, listen, I'd like the student handbook ripped off.
He got the state law changed about open records. But he's like, hey, it's the student handbook, guys. It's been laminated, okay? It's official. They laminated it.
Imagine Kirby's in his office is like, yeah, the student handbook just, it's no longer. Why? I felt like it.
Seth Emerson's like, wait a minute. It went from 3 days to 90 because of you, but the student handbook is the 11th commandment.
It is gospel. It's not going to change anything. Georgia will play in 139 days. A real game against Clemson at Mercedes-Benz Stadium August 31st. A side note, Andrew Paul, Georgia running back, announced on Instagram he's entering the transfer portal.
We talked about that, maybe entering spring practice, that seven scholarship running backs and somebody was going to leave. He's from Texas. Is that right? Is he the kid? Yeah. And so buddy out there said, look for Andrew Paul. He'll go home to Texas, but not because he's dissatisfied with Georgia, just because there's a bunch of them and he's from Texas and a bunch of people want him.
Now, Kirby got a chance to meet the media, which I'm sure he was thrilled about after the spring action. He evaluated the game top to bottom this way.
I thought the defense played much better today than they did in previous scrimmages in terms of like energy, enthusiasm, running to the ball. We rushed the passer better today. Offense probably didn't have as good a day as maybe they've had in the two scrimmages. But overall, I don't evaluate things on today. I know you guys will ask questions and talk about today. For me, it was about the entire spring. 15 practices, very pleased with our health coming out of it.
Over, click.
Was he on CB Radio? I thought the same thing. I was like, who got that audio from Kirby?
Heavy Road Dog.
What did Road Dogg do?
Was he using his Marantz?
I feel like he was holding the mic up to a speaker. That feels like such an Adam Gillespie move right there.
He might not even been there.
So you're saying he pilfered the audio and claimed he was there? No, I think he was doing the
He dialed it up and just like held the mic to this.
He was doing the engineering for WSB. Did they carry the game?
Maybe like ESPN Plus and he was from the TV.
So he was at Buffalo Wild Wings or something?
I don't know. You've seen him before? You know about the whole Gus Malzahn eating cookies thing.
I wasn't there. You were. I heard secondhand what happened there. He wasn't in proper position.
Yeah, we're supposed to be interviewing Gus Malzahn, the Auburn. Let me say that. It sounds better now. The Auburn head coach. Right. That sounds more than Gus.
It does, yeah.
And he's out eating cookies.
He was at Chick-fil-A.
SEC Media Days, yeah. And he's two rooms over just piling them in.
And it's worth pointing out, even in a moment like that, he does not rush back.
Oh, yeah, your emergency does not change anything about his schedule. No.
I mean, he will mosey back and get there.
He has a cadence.
Is Gus still there? Okay, that's great. Here's more from Kirby Smart, who was talking about Carson Beck's spring game and his overall performance in the spring.
Carson had a great spring to me. He's had a quiet leadership. He's got a lot of confidence. When things aren't going well, to kids and players and O-line turned to him. He had a really good moxie out on the field. He never, pressed or got frustrated even today. He drove the team down and made some really elite throws there at the end to give us a chance to tie the ball game. But taking today out of it, I mean, I don't even go off today. He's had a good spring. He knows how to navigate a pocket. He knows where to go with the ball. There's nothing he hadn't seen on defense. So I'm happy with where he is. I want him to continue to grow as a leader.
There he is, Kirby Smart, in some distant far land.
He's in the bathroom.
It was
guys, can I get back in the shower now?
I mean, we played the audio and that's fine. It's just it was a little not the greatest quality of audio. That's okay.
Maybe there were cookies.
Georgia Tech finished up their spring game in front of 12,000 of Bobby Dodd. The Swarm beat Wreckham, Team Wreckham. You gotta be careful how you say that one. That can come out wrong.
Good for them. It wasn't on Friday night. That's real. You did what everybody else does.
Yes, the Swarm won 27-24. Now, apparently the pass game was cranked up. Chris Elko had four catches, 136 yards, including a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. He caught that one. Jamal Haynes ran for 44 yards. They had him in and out on six carries. And the Jackets made a 62-yard field goal. How about that? And it wasn't from Gavin Stewart, by the way, who entered the transfer portal. We had some confusion about that earlier.
No, we didn't. Adam did.
Well, I didn't want to throw
Were there cookies in the room back there?
Can you find that update from him? Not in the next couple. Maybe you can. Maybe that's part of unfinished business. Again, it's not my segment.
Yeah.
But there was an Adam Gillespie update at about 1:40 today where in the middle of it he said, I'm not sure who this guy's name is.
Giving you the sports update where you turn to me for a minute and a half and I give you all the deets. Except the ones that I can't recall.
So maybe that's coming up during unfinished business. I'm not sure. Again, it's not my segment. Congratulations to a Scottie Scheffler's son or daughter. Do we know the sex of his unborn child yet? Because they just got their trust fund added another $3.6 million, because that's what Scottie made for winning his second green jacket in the last 3 years. I'm still not convinced his wife hadn't had the baby yet. His wife, Meredith, you don't know the story. Scottie was going to leave at any point, even if he had the lead on the 16th or 17th on Sunday. If his wife was going into labor, he was leaving. I think she had the kid on Friday. Just didn't tell him. He gets back. You give me the check, I give you your child. That's what it looked
like
at the
hospital.
They're
already home, baby swaddled, everybody good.
I mean, there's a chance that she wasn't going to go, you're not leaving the Masters Saturday, Sunday.
Get that second one.
And he did. He
bring got home his, the 3.9.
He got the 3.2.
He broke off his caddy, too.
We should. Yep. After that kind of performance.
Let him walk up the fairway, too.
All right, let's get our worst idea.
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's worst idea.
All right, kill the worst idea. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. I will mention you can send your worst idea answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We were asking for the three certainties in life, death, taxes, and blank. But all that goes away because this is the update. So this is the Adam Gillespie update. Take a listen. This happens to the best of us right in the middle of it. He just tapped out.
The portal is open, and the first names are starting to jump into the portal. Georgia running back Andrew Paul has announced via Instagram he will be in the portal. And Georgia Tech has lost the kicker. Gavin, I can't remember his last name off the top of my head.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
What kind of news reporter is that? That's an update.
Credit.
That would be Gavin Stewart, little dog.
Thank you, Nick.
Credit to Adam. He did say the first names are entering the portal.
How about before you
maybe
do
the first name?
Before you do the update, you have the first and the
you would imagine
last name.
You would imagine, really.
Okay. Well, Gillespie does a great job producing and
kicker,
doing updates.
Gavin, I can't remember his last name off the top of my
head. Doesn't matter.
All right.
Was that Matt Lear jumping in there?
He was trying to help Adam out of the ditch there.
What a helper.
Like, keep going. Keep going.
What a helper. What a helper guy he is. So, again, we don't have time to read your worst idea answers. Keep those coming in to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. All right, coming up, we will ask the Hall of Famer Tom Glavine about the return of the Max. Max Fried's performance on Friday night looked like old Max. Plus, how do you pitch to Marcell Ozuna if you're trying to get the Big Bear out right now? We'll get the answers to that and more with the Hall of Famer next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. Thanks for spending your Monday right here. Reminder, our 680 The Fan green card, we're down to just like three of them. You got to grab them before they're gone. Go to 680thefan.com. And if they're not gone by the time we're off the air today, I'm out of a job. That's the rumor around here.
He's not going to be back.
It could be. Yeah, it's true. 680thefan.com. Six courses, $600 value, $249. Grab them before they're gone. Also, let me remind you, the Georgia Hemp Company and Simply Sports CBD, the official CBD partner of the Braves, are giving away a $100 gift card to you guys. Right now, all you have to do is be caller 8 at 404-231-1680. The gift card is good at any of the four area Georgia Hemp Company locations in Atlanta, Decatur, Woodstock, and Duluth. Visit thegeorgiahempcompany.com to find the location closest to you.
He's a Hall of Famer,
Tom.
An Atlanta legend, and again this season, he's only on one station.
There it is, career strikeout number 1,000.
Struck him out, seven strikeouts through five.
And that's 300 wins for Tom Glavine.
It's the Tom Glavine Show, presented by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
The Hall of Famer, Tom Glavine, joins Chuck and Chernoff on Mondays. Kind enough to join us once again on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line as Tommy G joins us right now. Tommy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're excellent. I'm glad I could start with some good Max Fried stuff because the first couple of starts we talked about the struggles Max had. He looked a lot like the Max Fried we had been accustomed to seeing. So I want to ask you whether it's specifically attributed to Max or just in general. Is that adjustments or is that just better execution when you see a turnaround like that?
I would say it's a little bit of both. You know, I think that, you know, certainly for Max, there's too much of a history of good pitching to think that he was going to do that for very long. You know, I think anytime you see a guy have a couple outings like that, you have a little concern about, okay, is he healthy? Is there anything wrong? And if there's nothing wrong, then you know he's going to figure something out. And you know, clearly he looked a lot better last time out, much more in the zone. Stuff was better. So I think that's you know, that's obviously what we all want to see, and we're going to see more of. But, yeah, I think it's a little bit of probably some adjustments, but also, you know, maybe just a little bit of Max being a little pissed off at himself and just kind of going out there and letting it loose.
I don't know about a left-handed pitcher getting right-handers to keep fishing down and inside. I was watching Saturday, Nick Lodolo, who's a young guy with the Reds. I didn't know anything about him. He's a left-handed starter, and he's a sinker and a change and a fastball, whatever. But he's got a little bit of that funky thing left-handers do on the three-quarter, the angle thing. But he got 10 Ks in one walk in five innings, and it was one guy after another, a right-hander going fishing low and inside. How does a lefty do that? What's the pitch combination or the approach?
Well, I think generally speaking, when lefties do that, it's similar style to Max. You know, you got a guy that's got a fastball that, you know, probably runs off of a four-seamer that at times probably has a little cut to it, but then he has that hard slider combination to go with it. Or some kind of hard breaking ball to go with it that, you know, he's starting in that plane that looks like his fastball, but then obviously gets the break and you know, is down and in on the hitter. And I think, you know, going back to Max, that's something that Max does really well when he's on, that fastball-curveball combination that he has because he likes to pitch, you know, with that four-seamer riding in on right-handed hitters, and then you start that four-seamer at the same spot, and now it's a hard breaking ball. That's a hard combination for hitters to try to decipher. And you know, I think anytime you have two pitches that are on the same plane that do something different, you've got something. If you can do three pitches, you've really got something.
The Hall of Famer Tom Glavine with Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. So talk to me about facing a hitter as hot as Marcell Ozuna, combined with the fact that he's a free swinger, Tommy. And I think maybe you've referenced this in the past, guys like Vlad Guerrero. Back in the day, sort of the toughest guys to face because forget the book. I mean, they're going to hit something an inch off the ground or 2 feet over their head. Like Marcell hit an 0-2 pitch that was a good pitcher's pitch yesterday. I don't know how you attack that when a guy is seeing the ball like he is.
A lot of times you don't. You know, I think if a situation arises where maybe you can pitch around him, you know, maybe you do it. You know, and we've talked so much about this lineup that when guys are swinging it, as a pitcher, it's hard to pitch around anybody because you got to pick your poison, right? But sometimes you're going to get a guy that's just so hot that you're gonna take your poison somewhere else. And I think Marcell might be one of those guys right now that if a pitcher has an opportunity to try to pitch around him, they might, and then try to deal with everybody else after him. But you know, to your point, those guys are always for me the hardest guys to pitch to because. You know, for most guys, you had a scouting report. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. You know what they'll chase, and you try to exploit all that stuff. When you have guys like Marcell, and to your point, Vlad Guerrero, they'll chase anything, but they might hit it, and that's the problem. You know, so it's not like, you know, you could be throwing a pitch that you think is expanding the zone on him that, you know, you're trying to get a swing and a miss, but he doesn't miss. You know, and that makes it tough because you really don't know how you're going about trying to set that kind of hitter up because there's no rhyme or reason to what they do. They just see ball, hit ball, and when they're on fire, then it makes it really tough. And you know, you almost go through that notion in your mind of, well, maybe if I just throw one down the middle, he won't know what to do with it, you know? But you never can bring yourself to do that. You still try to make quality pitches, and you just hope that when they're hot like that, you hope that, you know, that's going to be the time where they hit a ground ball or pop one up.
So I don't know if you've spent much time watching the A's. It's okay if you haven't. Their closer, Mason Miller, he came in yesterday, threw 13 pitches. 9 of them were fastballs. All of them were 100 miles plus. His elbow ain't going to last. His shoulder's not going to last. None of that's going to last. But it's that big 6'5", over-the-top Verlander fastball. Talk about that approach to a fastball, because they say it actually picks up some speed about halfway to home plate, and I don't know how the hell that's possible.
Well, I mean, I think that's to me, that's where I've kind of started to, I don't want to say buy into, but I guess buy into a little bit or understand some of the analytics on spin rate. And I think that's what happens. When you have a guy who throws a fastball that seems to, you know, rise, so to speak, to a hitter, I just think that's a guy with a really good four-seam spin, and the ball is not affected by gravity, so to speak, as much as a hitter thinks, right? I mean, a hitter sees that fastball out of the hand, and they think, okay, factor all this stuff in. By the time it gets to home plate, I'm going to swing down here. But when they swing down here, the fastball stays on that same plane and it just goes above their bat. So I think that's what a hitter sees with a guy like that. That spin rate is just so good that, you know, whatever plane that fastball starts on, it stays there. And I think the hitter is just thinking in their mind that it's got to come down a little bit, but it just doesn't.
Glav, Darius Vines will make the start tonight, his first up in the bigs and his first in 11 days. So he gets called up with the idea that you'll be in the bullpen if needed, and then if you don't pitch out of the pen, you'll start. I always hear about the routine that you guys need. How difficult is it for any pitcher, especially a young guy who hasn't thrown a pitch in a game in 11 days, now has to do it in the bigs against that lineup tonight?
Well, it's not ideal, but I think you'll do whatever you've got to do to get that start in the big leagues, right? I mean, I think you'll kind of be like, well, routine out the window. I'm pitching in the big leagues. So, you know, I'm sure he's obviously going to be excited about it, and that's always the hardest thing, I think, your first time out there is to kind of temper the excitement and stay, keep your emotions under control and just do your thing. So, you know, I'm sure he's done enough throwing to stay sharp and all that stuff. But to your point, it's different when you haven't faced hitters and then, you know, you're going to face a lineup like Houston. So, it's a tall order, but, you know, we've seen so many times now where these pitchers that come up and nobody knows anything about them, if they're throwing strikes, they have a little bit of an advantage because the hitters have to get to know them a little bit, and there's no book, no video, or any of that stuff. So, you know, hopefully you can get out, get off to a good start, get comfortable, and give the Braves an opportunity to win the game.
Glav, last thing. Chris Sale is about the, like, most polar opposite of you, right? I used to hear about Glav that you didn't know if he was winning the game or losing the game, didn't show you any emotion. Well, if Braves fans were watching again Saturday, Chris in the inning where he walked two before the home run.
He got squeezed.
I mean, he's pumping up fist angrily, and he's coming off the mound. Like, the opponent knows he's all fired up, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think your philosophy always was, I don't want to give them any reason to believe they've got me in a situation where I'm sort of off a little bit. So what do you think when you see Sale give his emotion?
You know, I think as long as you're consistent, which Chris is, then, you know, then that is what it is, right? I mean, I think you send, you know, that opposing dugout is definitely going to notice that you're upset. But in his case, where he does it, you know, frequently enough, he shows his emotion, then, you know, I don't know that you necessarily jump to the conclusion that, we got him. You know, you just know you got him ticked off. But I think that's something that works for him, right? I think he's an emotional guy on the mound, and I think it's the kind of thing that when he gets ticked off, it's the kind of thing that fires him up, and he's going to try to make the adjustments and figure something out. So I think it works for him. But yeah, you're right. It's the polar opposite of me. But, you know, I mean, listen, that's the beauty of the game, right? There's so many ways to get it done, so many different approaches that can be successful, and, you know, not everybody has to be 6'2" and 250 pounds to be successful. You got all sizes and shapes in that game that find the ways to be successful, and that's what makes it a great game.
Glav, I hope you get a big old fat tax refund. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, have a great week, guys. Take
care. There he is, the Hall of Famer.
He may have to auction off a Silver Slugger Award, man.
I don't want to have to write a check to the government on this tax day.
Get me a new accountant.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.